Blog Talk Radio.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer that if you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toils and strife. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees. Have you ever thought you was trying to get close to me? Yeah. Think it over, girl. Think it over. Look, that's the way you feel about you. And if I'm getting weak, but you know. So have many others too, but that's the sacrifice that life put you through, put you through, put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't know, but God might have sent me here. Yeah. Think it over. Think it over.
Oh,
shalom, shalom, everybody. It's Shaina. We're here again. Look at this. Just faithful. You know, this is a beautiful day. It's been a blessing. I want to make an announcement, and I'll probably make this again during the radio show. But I would like to apologize because I went to my email account, Yaina Yisrael, and I had so many phone calls from you guys, people who have been trying to reach me from way back, and I do so apologize for that. I did write everybody's number down. I did some calling today. I'll probably do some more after the radio show is over, and so that I can extend my apologies individually. Also, I wanted to let you know that we do have a new contact phone number, and I want to give you guys that number so that in the event that you need to reach us, we'll have it on our new I'm going to try to update all of our YouTube podcasts that we have out there. But the number, if you need to reach us, well, we will definitely get in contact with you because we have a better system now. It's area code 513-486-5405. I'll say it again, 513-486-5405. So that's our number. You know, I don't want anybody to feel like that we were deliberately neglecting. Some people had left 3 or 4 messages, and I am a stickler about that. I do apologize. I do not have any. I have cleaned out my email account for Yaina Yisrael. So, you know, I went through that today, and I made sure. And I made some phone calls. Some numbers were not working. Some numbers I left messages. So if you guys get a message from me, it's just giving you that new number so that you'll be able to contact us for whatever. I had the pleasure of speaking with a lady today that was outside of the country, and we talked for quite a while. I don't know if Brother Yerushalayim is on here. If you are, if you can push 1, I'd appreciate it. There's some things I need to share with you as well. We also had a couple of churches contact us in that website for the 400 years. So, you know, it's working. You know, the Most High is doing what it is that He does. You know, we just have to be patient and let it work. I will be calling the National Mall on Tuesday because Monday is a holiday. They're not open, but I did have some people contact me. So let me get his mic open so I can let him know that I just wanted to let you know in front of everybody that your labor has not been in vain. You know, I did have a couple of the churches, and they did respond, so I will be sending you that information. So, you know, all praises to the Most High God. You know, we just have to give Him time and be patient, and He's working it out.
Yeah.
You know. Is this Brother Yerushalayim?
Yes, it is.
Oh. Just wanted to make sure. You know, I did get calls from some of the brothers, so I will be sending you their numbers so you can contact them.
Okay.
You know, and go from
okay.
there. And, you know, people had questions about different things like dietary lists and all that kind of stuff. So if you would, everyone who would like to have a copy of the dietary list of the things that you're supposed to eat and the things that you're not supposed to eat, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, and I'm going to ask you to call that number that I told you and leave your email address on that number. Don't email us, because we got emails coming in from everywhere. Call that number
yeah.
and leave your contact information, and we will send you, we will get, Malcolm's putting a list together, and we will make sure that you all get the list. So when you got about over 4,000 emails, you know, you lose some, and I may try to make sure I got everybody. So I just wanted to let you all know that. Okay, so. Again, the phone number, our new number is 513-486-5405. That's the number for the Nation of Yehuda. If you need to contact us, there are people that are registering for the International Day of Repentance. We had a lot of phone calls about that, you know, how to register, where to go. So we're getting that underway. And so far, we're on track. I mean, we're not so far gone that we're not on track. The presentation we got about Black Wall Street is absolutely wonderful. So, you know, I've gotten people are sending stuff in, and we're going to put it all together and make one big show. And we're coming together. We got a list of chefs in the area that will be willing to help us with the food and all that kind of stuff. So we're pretty much coming together, and that's a blessing. That is truly a blessing. So what do you guys think about yesterday? Anybody have anything that they would like to report? Something they would like to talk about that we have not covered? How do you think the class went yesterday and all that good stuff? You know,
I think the class went great, sis. You know, it made you think, made me think, you know, a lot, you know, because after the class, I went on and took the initiative to actually start researching, you know, the how to calculate the holy days. And, you know, it's like you said yesterday, you know, we got to put more effort into knowing the story. And, you know, I think it went great. You know, now you asked me that same question today, you know, I probably tell you. But, you know, we've got to put more effort into it. You know, we got to put a little bit more effort into everything. That's all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And we don't want you to feel like you sitting here just talking and we just hear it, you know. But we actually care and we just do listen. I know everybody does.
Oh, I know you care. I never think that you don't care. It's just that I look at it like this. This is our history. And this is our genealogy. And just like we know from our birth that my grandmother's name is Juanita and my mother's name is Jean and my father's name is Bill, and I can go down the line, keep on going down the line. We need to know that just like that. Because we have an oral tradition and an oral history that we have to pass on to our children. And the Bible is our history book. You know, and we should be able to explain it and make it make sense, and you know, so that people be like, now that makes a lot of sense, you know. So I just want everybody to know it. That's all, you know, that, you know, because eventually somebody else will be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to get this stuff structured so that we can have different teachers. And you know, it's not always me that it's somebody else that step up and say, you know, I want to teach them how to calculate the high holy days. I want to teach them about the dietary law. Or I want to teach them about the foods that they can and cannot eat. All of that's a part of our culture.
Correct.
You know, so.
I want to say one thing to you. I'm going to put my wife, Sister Rachel, out here on blast right now, but I'm going to say it, but she got to come out of her shell. And the reason I say that is because you received that video. That was not me. That was Sister Rachel. All by her lonesome.
I figured it was. She did an excellent job. I figured it was.
And she's really good at stuff like that, but she's so shy and thinking that people don't acknowledge acknowledging that she's doing something wrong, that I keep telling her all the time, you're doing great, you know, and she's just so shy. Maybe you can encourage her to step out in the forefront a little bit more because she's really good at what she does.
Well, we got plenty of work to do now. Don't worry about that. We'll be on the phone with her all the time because, you know, the harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers that are few. You know, and I think we have a lot of people like that are just listening and they're in the background and they're full of a wealth of talent and information. And, you know, we got to get them to come out and, you know, it's okay to come out because, you know, this is new for all of us. All of us, we're building a culture. This is new for everybody. You know? So, yes, I need your work. I need her expertise, Sister Rachel. That was an excellent job that you did. It really was.
Thank you.
But I would say that on another front, though, I was listening that, you know, Mr. Darby, the guy that, Lonnie Dalton, that did the Hebrews and Negroes movie, he did a session interview with a Jewish rabbi. The last session lasted an hour and a half, and oh, I wish you could just hear it. He really, I mean, he put him on blast. I mean, he really knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And we got to pray for him. We really got to pray for him. Mm-hmm. Because Esau knows who we are. Let me tell you about Esau. Esau knows who we are. He's very clever. You know, not to say that Yah doesn't protect us, because he does. But, you know, he's very clever. So I believe that he did that, you know, and he has the ability to do a lot of that. And they know who we are. They listen and watch us all, you know, but we got to pray for him and keep him in prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's those people that can reach the masses that they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the facade hasn't stopped. You know, the imitating of us as a people hasn't stopped. That has to continue, because they have to fulfill a certain portion, you know, and in order to do that, you know, the world is going to have to continue to believe that they are who they say they are.
Yeah.
So I will definitely pray for him and keep me in prayer. I mean, all of us have to be able to pray. And keep us in prayer, because, you know, Esau knows who we are. No question about that at all. You know, but we just have to keep him in prayer, and his family and his children, you know what I'm saying? Because, like mm-hmm. I said, it's mighty funny that, you know, they want to put him on, they want to debate with him, you know what I'm saying? And I just don't trust him, but I'm sure he stood up for mm-hmm. it. You know, I'm sure he represented well. I'm sure
he did. He did better than Will. As a matter of fact, he did so well that the guy toward the end, he's trying to weave it into where we are all Israel, them and us, and that they need to we need to be fighting more and sticking together for reparations and all of that. He's trying to get on our side because he couldn't deny anything that the Dalton said.
I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it. I really don't. Hold on, let me open up the mic. Erica, I'm going to leave your mic open. Erica, 513, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, family. This is Sister Couture. Just a brief mm-hmm. thought. I heard about the request for the dietary information, mm-hmm. and it seems mm-hmm. we're not using our website like we should. Because that should be posted in a link where all you have to do is click on it and download.
That's true. And I'm glad you said that. We're going to work on getting that done, for real.
Because I listened to a lot of the requests that the family is asking you for, and a lot of that could be uploaded to the website where we could just automatically go in and click on it or refer family members to that website, and once they get to that website, they'll have access to a lot of additional information.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. That's the kind of stuff we need. We need suggestions like that, because I can't think of them all. And like I said, we're working with a very small crew. That's why we need all hands on deck, but we definitely are going to do that and update the website so we can add a link to the website, and they just click on it, and they can download it and have it on their own paper. Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I do.
Okay, now I'm going to put you back on hold. You know, Sunday's just my day to clean the house, so I'll put you back on hold.
I understand. Okay. I understand. All right, area code 928. Your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
We were just listening to the we were listening to the show today. I know for sure we only eat kosher food, but there is something like that. And if you have a clean water source and you have clean food, because they're poisoning the air, the water, and the food, then you got a good start.
All right. We can barely hear you. Can't hear you at all now. Hello? Hello? You might want to call back in, hang up and call back in, because it was really hard to hear you, and then it just stopped. But, yeah, so anyone else, while they're doing that, if they want to call back in, that would be great. anybody else, you know, have any ideas or whatever? Do we have anyone that is a graphic artist? We need a graphic artist, and the reason why we need them is because we're making up 12 banners to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and we want to put something together that's phenomenal, colorful, and all of that, and bring that with us in Washington, D.C. Anybody is a graphic artist, and they can put something together for us, or just, you know, make something up for us with colors in it and stuff to represent the 12 tribes and really do your homework. You know, we would appreciate that. We need that. You know, and like I said, as we come together and we do this, you know, it's going to get better. We have a lot of talented people here. You know, just like we was talking on Thursday, we have a lot of money on this call. We have educated money. We have inherited money. We have street money. We have all kind of stuff. And we're pulling our resources together so we can get this thing done. And it doesn't take a lot. You know, it doesn't take a lot. We're working on doing some finishing touches on the T-shirt. We figured you can't wear the T-shirt yet anyway. It's too cold. So rather than have to buy one that's long sleeve and short sleeve, we're going to have those ready for spring so that you guys can wear them in the spring and represent it. And we'll run our little commercial and do what we have to do because we still have plenty of time. It's just February. We're not having the Day of Repentance until September. So we're working on it. We're getting it together. It's all coming together. You know, and I think yesterday was good for us because we had to stop and think about how much we don't retain and the information that we don't retain, the information that we need to. Because like I said, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. We got to go back and go through the story and show the story. You know, but I'm trying to get things back the way they were so that when you guys contact us and you call us, you can get a return call back right away. And everything will be right there for you so you'll have what you need. And, again, let me give out the telephone number for those who need it. It's area code 513-486-5405. Now, that is the number that you can call and leave a message, and we will give you a call back. We're going to try to do it within 24 hours. But they were sending it to my Yaina Yisrael account, and we just had too much going on in there where I couldn't identify the group of the calls that were coming through. So now that we have all that straightened out, this is specifically just four phone calls that come through. So we wanted to make sure we put that in there. You know, but I wanted to ask you a question. What do you think about Paul? You know, now that we know what we know and what we talked about yesterday, which I think was so profound and so interesting, you know, about this Gentile thing and being grafted in and all this kind of stuff, you know, and the situation that we are in terms of the church, you know, what do you guys think about that? You know, how do you feel about that? You know, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Way I feel about Paul.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I had told you one night when I was reading and the works of Paul is that Paul was an Israelite. There's just certain things about him that just made me kind of uneasy. Because it took him, I think it's in Acts chapter 15, I think it's 15 or 25.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Acts where he was actually put on trial. And once he got put on trial, then he comes out and says, I have not taught against the law of Moses. I've not taught against the prophets. I've not defiled the temple. Then he says all that. But when you read some of the stuff that he was teaching and some of the stuff that he was saying, it kind of goes contrary to the law and what was supposed to be done. Because when the brothers first heard about it, the Israelites first heard about it, they're like, who is this? You know, teaching, he's teaching against the law. There he is. And they went to go put hands on him, and they stopped him. And Paul just, you know, that's when, right before he went on trial. But it's just something about what he teaches that just looks is off, but I agree with Peter. You know, unless you learn it and know, you shouldn't be fooling with the works of Paul because it didn't create a whole new religion.
It has. It really has. It really has. It's a whole Christianity is based off of that. And then when I thought about the scripture that we read in Acts on chapter 15 where they were disputing on what was permissible for the Gentile to do and what wasn't permissible, I thought about that this morning. Like, they can't make up their own laws.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, that's what they said. And they said, well, it's Paul, Acts chapter 15, verse 19, it says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not with them, we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are tied to Yah, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood.
So
Moses the
most
time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue. So how do you get to make up your own laws for these people?
You know, I don't know. It's like I said, something about him just, I don't know. Maybe that's one of those stumbling blocks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but like you said, I see you, Brother Leonard. But like you said, it has created a whole new religion, and that's what Christianity is all about, a whole new religion. And it's interesting. I'm telling you, it's like you have made up four things that these people don't have to do, that you created a whole new law for these Gentiles and telling these Gentiles that they don't have to do this, and that's good enough, and then they do those things, and then they're grafting in. I mean, the more you read it and the more you understand it, it's almost like it was a setup. I'm just seeing it as a setup. Hold on, let me open the mic. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air. I see you 405.
Well, it says, the brothers just said that Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, but if you go to Genesis chapter 10, Verse 4, it says, the sons of Jabin, Elisha, Tarsus. So he's Paul from Tarsus. He's not Israelite. And so when you go to the Septuagint, it's a bunch of these men. It's a bunch of these men that's Ashkenazi, because in verse 3, it says the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz. So in Alexandria had when he went conquering the world, he had a contingent of Edomites and these Ashkenazis with him. And every time he conquered a city, he would leave a bunch of them there. So Alexandria, Egypt, is awash with these Edomite Jews. And so that's why that's how we got the Septuagint. They wanted a copy of the Septuagint in Greek. I mean, they wanted a copy of the Old Testament in Greek in Alexandria. So all those guys, Philo of Alexandria, all them. So those they was writing books, copying off the Old Testament, and putting their name on it. And they were taking Hebrew names and calling themselves by Hebrew names, but they was Edomite Greek. Those are the books that was compiled for the New Testament. By Constantine. He took the books that they were plagiarizing and compiled them. That's where the New Testament comes from.
And see, I've heard that, but I don't believe that. I believe that, and a lot of the stuff that's in the New Testament is mentioned in the Old Testament. I do believe that, but I don't believe that the books were plagiarized. I believe that they were truly apostles and disciples. I just believe that when it comes down to the Pauline doctrine, because Paul was supposedly the only one that was sent to the Gentiles, and when it comes down to his doctrine, that is what gives these people right to believe that there's a spiritual Israel. And there's no such thing as a spiritual Israel, because when you read the Gospels, it is very, very clear that Yahushua came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was very clear about that. He said, I didn't come for the whole world. I came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So after he rose and he left, these people were left to tell the story, and Paul started out persecuting the Israelites. That's how he got started. He killed off a lot of them.
Right, but Paul wasn't by himself. That's the picture that people would paint, but Paul was not by himself. Josephus is an Edomite Jew. Philo of Alexandria, all those guys in the that was in the Egypt was it was Edomite Greece, and they was copying off of the Tanakh, making their own book. It wasn't just Paul. Those Ashkenazis that we're dealing with today, the same one. Marcion. Marcion is responsible for the four gospels.
See, I don't believe that. I believe in the gospels and I believe in the Messiah. So I mean I can't go with that, but I can definitely go with the
I'm not going to do that. All I'm doing is we as Hebrews, like in the very last days, I'm painting the picture of the truth of the matter. So I mean, people are gonna believe what they wanna believe, but if you research John, his actual name is Cerinthius. When you look that up, John Cerinthius. So I want to add a little something. I'm going to shut up. So when he was taken up to heaven, he was taken to heaven. He tells you in Genesis, Revelation 2, I think it is, that he was taken up to the throne. Well, Enoch tells us it's seven angels that were created in the very beginning. And that
right. The
soul seven angels, we know their names. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Well, when John go up there, and you can read it in John, in Revelation, now it's 24 feet. These seven angels and 24 feet. Well, if you understand that, the 24 feet are the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. So what he's telling you is that he's one of them. He in the vision, and one of the seats, he on one of the seats. Imagine that.
Okay, but guess what? In the spirit of regeneration, that's not hard to believe that they're all coming back. He saw a vision of not a future tense, not right there with older tense, because if you believe that, when the Father comes down with the city, the foundation is all with the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. The gates are the 12 tribes of Israel made out of one pearl. So, I mean, you can't – I mean, I know you don't believe in the New Testament, and there's a lot of stuff out there to try to dispute it that is not real. But we do believe into the New Testament. I'm talking about.
Right. I understand that. All I'm saying is I'm just shining a light on it for another take to look at it, because the 12 apostles wasn't there in the Tanakh. So you got 12 gates and 12 patriarchs.
How many prophets do we have in the Old Testament? How many prophets do we have in the Old Testament?
We had 12.
We had 12 prophets too. So that's no more than just the, if you gotta really understand the one third, but let me get to somebody else. Hold on. All right, Eric Hole 405, go ahead, your mic is open, you on there.
Yes, I want to comment somewhere on Paul. You have to remember, Paul was kind of like a politician starting out. And the Most High, you know, when he called him, it really was to stop him from killing the, you know, the other apostles. I mean, you know, the disciples. And they kind of slowed down on it, but when you're dealing with the Edomites and you're out there, you know, just like a politician, sometimes he kind of speaks their language, but at the same time, it seems like you're talking out of your side of your mouth. and then people are wondering, what do you really believe? But a lot of things that Paul had said or even had written was private letters. And I believe that some of those letters they intentionally put in there because, you know, if I was stuck in prison and things were happening to me and I'm writing to someone, giving them my feelings, you know, I mean, yeah, people probably would question what I believe or what my intentions are, but I think intentionally it was put there because they wanted to use it at their benefit to to say that it's okay. You know, he's talking. He's saying he's talking about, or he wants to incorporate all the what is it we call Gentiles, and actually Paul knew who the Gentiles were. The Gentiles were the same ones that Yeshua, you know, had talked about. He was talking about people that were lost 700 years before he got there. And Paul was the right man for the Most High to use in order to get there. So he had to be like a politician, and the Most High knew what he was doing. And we have to look between the lines, and also that's why the Ruach was here for us to determine what's right and what's wrong and what we can sift through. And that's why we have to learn things on precept, line up on line. We have to research. And some things, if you look, that don't look right. Yes, because we know that they have went into our Bible. They have went into our book, and they have went through even the old and the new. They have went through and sifted through and took out. And we know that for a fact. So I'm not going to be the one to really judge Paul, because I'm going to take some of the things that I know that is good, and some of the things that I see that, you know, I have mixed emotions on. I believe that the Holy Spirit, that's why it's a good thing to have the Holy Spirit, because it'll tell you to sift through and what's right and what's wrong. And, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, yes, that Holy Ghost is the gospel. Well, I heard what gospel really came from. Gospel, God spell. It's a spell that that some of these Edomites and other put into it, and to make people stray away from it. But that's my thoughts on that.
All right. I mean, you know, this is what this is about. We talking and listening. Hold on. Let me open the mic. Area code 928. Your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I believe that Paul is stumbling block. I'm not saying everything that he said was like totally bad, but Peter was given to the Gentiles, and the Messiah never changed that. So we're supposed to be following the commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, Yah's way, and then following the Messiah, not worshiping the Messiah, but following the Messiah. So we better be careful on who we continue to follow. And if it's not between Yah and what the Messiah had ordained, I'm going to stay away from it, because we can't afford to make our own path. And there was once a time where every man did right in his own eyes, but that's not what was ordained by Yah. So when it comes down to following people, I'm going to follow Yah, I'm going to follow the Messiah, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I see
all
a lot
right.
of discrepancies with Paul, and the Catholic Church has twisted him so bad. I would take it as good Christian advice, well, good advice. I won't say Christian because I'm not a Christian. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. But I would take it as
right.
some of his things as good advice, but I can't afford to stray now. We can't afford to stray now.
That's right. That's right. I agree with you 100%. I look at those books that Paul wrote as letters, and like they're supposed to be looked at. They're letters that he wrote to someone, you know, and that you can't take letters that he has written to a group of people and turn it into the word of Yah, because it's letters. And he was opinionated, and he was given instructions for those people to set up churches or whatever from what we read. But at the same time, those were his opinions, and a lot of things that they were given was not the law of Yah. So, I mean, you know, it's going to get very iffy. It's going to get very interesting, because a lot of people feel like that they are living appropriately because they follow Paul. And I'm basically talking about the Gentile and the Christian church, and that's just really, that's real. They really do think it, you know, and it's unfortunate, but it's nothing that we can do about it. I just want to bring that up because I know that a lot of people feel like that they're included in this thing because they are Christians and they believe that they're Gentiles and they're doing everything that he said to do. But very rarely do you hear him talk about, I mean, you're getting secondhand information when the Messiah clearly told you in the Gospels, this is what it is. This is why I came. This is what you have to do. And the gospel that has to be preached is that my kingdom is coming, that I'm coming to the earth to set up a kingdom on the earth, and I'm gonna live in this kingdom, and it's going to be the first kingdom on the earth for peace. You know, so, you know, to prepare people for that, I don't think it's being done. It's just my opinion, you know, and I according to what I've read, and it was so ironic because I talked to a lady today, and she brought Paul up too. You know, when you start thinking about it, I don't think, you know, whatever, for whatever reason that he's here, he has done a very, very good job at what he's doing because they have followed him. You know, I don't dismiss a lot of things that he says because a lot of things make true. Like, for instance, the scripture says, train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Now, did y'all say that? No. Did Paul say that? No. You know who said that? Timothy's grandmother. Timothy's grandmother said that. I think her name was Eunice. She made that statement. And does it make sense? It does in some cases. You know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But to turn that into the word of God, that's why when you read the Bible, you have to rightly divide the word of truth, put everything in proper perspective, know who said what, and deal with it accordingly. And that is all I'm saying, is that when you read the Old Testament and you understand the Old Testament, then you can put the New Testament in perspective. When you understand the God of the Old Testament and how he operated and how he felt about Israel and the things that he went through with Israel and the emotions that he felt, And the punishment that Israel had, and the people that he chose to punish Israel, you begin to understand who he is as a deity and how he feels as an Elohim. So when you get to the New Testament, he hasn't changed. You know, so that's all I'm saying, is that he hasn't changed. And we have to be able to, you know, not that I would preach to the Gentile, because I'm like everybody else. I haven't been sent to the Gentile. That's not my calling to do that. We are dealing with Israel and making sure that Israel is whole and making sure that Israel is solid. So, you know, it's something that they're going to have to sort out on their own, and they're not going to change. They're going to believe what they want to believe. Nobody's going to change them. So, I mean, you know, it's just going to be what it's going to be. It's a whole religion that's set up, and they're, you know, they're very good at sending the truth out the way they want it to be. So that's just the way it is. Just how it is. And it's just, you know, that's just what it is. But when I read this in Acts chapter 15, I was like, wait a minute, this can't be right. Because when you get to 28, it says, for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which is the letter, which when they read it, they rejoiced for consolation. You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, well, are you making up a new law? Do they have a different law they have to keep? Or what is going on? But again, you know, you're talking about people that have come together to put this together, and at the end of the day, we're going to see. You know, I mean, you know. And I always say everybody has the right to believe what they want. Everybody does. But at the end of the day, we'll see. It just would be a shame to go through all of that and think it's going to end up one way, and it's not. That's all I'm saying. You know, but then again, do we worry about them in terms of what's going to happen to them? And I would say no, because that's y'all's business. Not that I'm not compassionate, or not that I'm not concerned, but that's y'all's business. You know, we have been through so much that it's time for us to start worrying about us. That's why I don't mess with that chart. Let me tell you why. And I hope that you can understand this. I don't know where the chart came from. I know a lot of people say they made the chart up and all this kind of stuff, but think about this. Do you know how many Puerto Ricans and Latinos that are out there that are Catholic? Do you know how many people are coming out of that to realize that they have a root in Israel and they're doing everything in their power to try to keep those laws, statutes, and commandments, that they're separated from the so-called Gentile because the Gentile think all he got to do is keep four things? You know, and for us to come against all of that, do you know the enemies that that would bring unnecessarily? Because at the end of the day, guess what? Y'all going to judge who's who. And sometimes using wisdom, and I'm just talking about wisdom. Wisdom is what when to know what, how to say what. Using wisdom, it's best to just, you know what I'm saying, to let it lie. Because, I mean, you know, for us to be like, well, you're not really no real Israelite anyway. You're not, and tell the Mexican you're not an Israelite, and to tell the Indian you're not an Israelite either. How do we know that? So I think that, you know, it's best to, instead of trying to figure out who y'all people is, we need to start focusing on us and getting us together. Because if you spend that time doing that, by the time you look up, hopefully we will be on our way out of here and make it the best way we can. And yes, they are coming. And yes, there's going to be many people that are going to come. And y'all's going to have to be the one to decide who's who. We can't spend a whole week. I just don't believe, and I think that's counterproductive, because we got people out here that's trying to keep the law, statutes, and the commandments and to do right. They're at least one up. Because you got people, on the other hand, the Gentiles who believe they don't got to do none of that, and they still going to make it.
I have something to say.
Say again?
I have something to say. I just read a documentary of someone who had written, a few doctors who had written, that everybody's ancestors that came from the slave ships was definitely the Jews. They were Israelites, Hebrew Israelites. Everyone who has a forefather, a progenitor, that came off the slave ships were definitely Jews at that time, because they had kept the records and they knew they had, I think it was 3 years old, anybody under 14, they had breeded them to become slaves because they wanted to be cruel to us. Now, there are sojourners and there are Hebrew Israelites. Those people who you're saying following the commandments and statutes and ordinances, who are sojourning with the Hebrew Israelites, they are going to be saved according to what was put forth in the Old Testament. Now, I truly believe that. I don't know if they're going to be saved on the new earth. I don't know if they're going to be saved in the new heaven. I don't know if they're going to be in New Jerusalem. But I know somehow, some way, he said that those who are abiding by what he had put forth, because the Messiah came in his father's name, and everything he did was under his father. He made a name for his father. The reason why I don't like Paul, and I don't agree with Paul, everything Paul says, because he made a name for himself. But they said that if you are a sojourner, so those who people who may not know if their forefathers were Israelites or not, if they have a humility spirit and a spirit of servitude, if you're sojourning with the Hebrew Israelites, Yah promised that you would be saved, because that makes, he said that you will be, in the book of Leviticus, he said they will be as one of the Hebrew Israelites. So if I was to tell everyone one thing, and that is just love one another and remember Yah, what Yah put forth. He promised that he would save Jacob out of this. So I'm just going to leave it like that, because he said that he would save them. So also, if you're not an Israelite, sojourn with the Israelites. Obey his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, and trust him, because I believe you're going to make it. I believe with all my heart that you're going to make it.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, I mean, like I said, I agree. I really do. We have to focus on us, and we have to make it work. We have to become the people, because how are we going to lead the people if we can't be the people, you know? Or we're going to have to really be the people and show some compassion, you know? And it, we just have to show some compassion, you know, toward our people. And, you know, not to say that we don't have compassion for the other people, but we have to show compassion toward our people, because like Brother Donnie, I always say, they have done a number. And any time you can take somebody through that, as traumatic as it was, I was listening to some of the slave people. You know, they have voices of the slaves on YouTube, and the lady was just not well-learned. You could tell she was not educated at all, you know. And the childlike mentality that this woman had, and this woman was old. She was like almost 90-something years old. But the maturity level that is sounded in her voice, you know, and the humility that she had being a slave, you know, it just it, what it shows me is psychologically we they did a number. The man said, "Well, what happened when you all were set free? Did you know you was free?" She was like, "No, we know nothing about being free." She said, "We know nothing about that. Master cooked us something to eat. And we had a meal, but after that, we know nothing about being free. We didn't even know where to go. We know where to go." And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You know, to be able to be mentally done that way, and then when they finally release some of the affliction, because we still ain't free. So when they lifted up some of the affliction, you still didn't have the wherewithal to know how to even start over and function. You know, and we have been, and guess what? It was only through the generations that were born after that we attained a little more education and a little more information, and we began to branch out. But we never had any psychological, counseling for that. You know, and we've always felt that way. So, you know, when we say that we're here for our people, that's what it has to be about. I hate to be that way. But when you understand the man was like, and this was a white guy doing interviews, and he was like, "Well, what happened to her?" She said the girl was, the master's wife was trying to accuse her of something, and she wanted to slap her. She said, but she pushed master's wife out the way. She said, and when Master came home and his wife told him that the slave had pushed her, she said they tied her to the tree and beat her with stripes. And the man was like, "My God." You know, and it's like, "Oh, but, you know, them your people. Them are your people." You know, and just the whole thing, it brings tears to your eyes to just listen to. But you know what? Even with all that, we can't hate them, because we did this to ourselves. And when Trump said that black people are angry people, that was the best thing that could have ever come out of his mouth, because it's the truth. We mad. But the thing about it is we don't know how to channel that energy and where to put it, because we can't get mad at nobody but ourselves. And we at the end of something. We're at the end of the fulfillment of 400-year punishment that the Most High put on us. We're at the end. We're almost 6 months away. In a couple of more days, we will be 6 months away from the ending of a 400-year-old punishment. And even with that, we still have people who don't want to believe it. They don't want to accept it. You can pull up the YouTube 400 years, and it's a whole two pages, three or four pages of people rebutting it and coming against it. And it can't be that, because we don't, and we just established that yesterday. We wasn't all together, and Egypt was the first time we were together, and all that kind of stuff. It's all kind of stuff. Is it 2019 or is it 2020? It's always something from Israel so that we don't have to come together because of that slave mentality. That's that slave mentality. And it was heartbreaking to hear. It was heartbreaking to hear that old lady talk like that. You know, to know that she was in the beginning of it all, and it was nowhere near over. It hadn't even really heated up. You know, it was heartbreaking to even know that. It just what it was. It was crucial. You know, to have that, it was rough. I mean, you know, but again, like I said, we brought it on ourselves as a people. We disobeyed, and he warned us over and over and over. He even sent prophets to warn us over and over and over again. We still did it anyway. We still disobeyed. We still served other gods. We still went out and did the things that he told us not to do. We did them in his face. You know, we defied his name in front of the other gods. We disgraced him in front of the other nations. He just wiped his hands like, I'm not going to keep on dealing with you. I'm going to put you somewhere so you'll know. Because you want to be with them, I'm going to put you with them. And I'm going to show you the hatred that dwells with them about you. Because it had really nothing to do with you. They don't want me to be with you. But the choice was made. He chose us to be his people. We already made the choice. The choice was his. And so, you know, and it's been a very difficult experience, but it's real. The perpetual hatred is real. It's real. But when it comes to the other people from the chart that's trying to live this, let them live it. If they put forth the effort to try to do it, well, why stop them? Because if nothing else, if they get to the wilderness and they figure out that they're the stranger, at least they put forth the effort to try to do something. You know? So I just look at it like that, you know, and that's just using wisdom. Because I don't want to take anybody's hope away from them at all whatsoever, ever. Ever take their hope from them. Because we haven't had any in a long time. And this has given us hope. And they mad about that. They want you to stay at the bottom. What you getting excited for? What you worried, 400 years or what? Some people can't accept that. Well, why would Trump do it? Why not? God used all kind of leaders from the other nations, the Gentile nations, to deliver us and to give information to us and do all this stuff. Why not? You know, so, I mean, you know, I just think that, you know, where we are now is a very interesting place. I'm excited, you know. We have a lot of work to do, and we got enough time to get it done. And I want, like Brother Urash Shalom said, the people that are supposed to be there are supposed to be there, but I don't even think we've even tapped into it yet. Once it hit, the Most High is going to have who we're going to have there, you know, and we're going to do what we have to do, you know, and we're going to do our prayer and say our prayer. And we're going to put some things together to make that work. But I don't think we've even tapped into it yet, because there's so many other people out there who are hearing this for the first time. They're hearing this for the first time. You know, about 400 years. You know, they're talking about 400 years on television, on the news. They're talking about it on the talk shows. Everybody's now talking about this 400 years. We've been here for 400 years. I've heard this more so ever than I've ever heard it. We've been here 400 years. It's been 400 years. 400 years of this stuff. Well, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. And the fact that he has us, because I said, well, let me see, 20 slaves came here in 1619, you know, and from 1619 to 2019, then people said, well, that's not the first slaves that came here, but those are the ones that Yah is acknowledging. He's allowing those to be acknowledged for a reason. 2019, 400 years. You know, like somebody said yesterday, all of us didn't rebel. All of us weren't disobedient, but we all went into captivity. We did. All of us went. And maybe because our ancestors were the ones who tried to do right, well, we were spared because some lineage just was completely cut off. Some of them got sick. I told you, they said a whole shipload full of slaves got sick. And rather than to bring them upshore with a sickness, they just emptied the whole ship into the ocean. Gone. I mean, you know, And honestly to say, I'm not angry with anybody. I'm not. I'm not angry with anybody, not of the other people. Because I understand now how who Yah is and how he operates. And like I said, he wrote the story. Everybody plays a part, and we have to play the part of the story, and that's just how it is. That's unfortunate. That's just the way it is. And it's not going to change. It really isn't. So, question. Anybody else have a question or a comment? You know, before we keep going, you know, I just want to share that because it's heartbreaking. You should go on YouTube sometime and listen to it. Just type in Voices of a Slave During Slavery and listen at the childlike mentality of a woman that's almost in her 90s. You know, the obedience that was there. You know, Master took care of her. We didn't know nothing. We just followed what Master said. You know, the mistress and the master. You know, it was something. It's heartbreaking. I'm telling you. Area code 972, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm actually puzzling through something right now because I don't know much about Paul, but one of the things that I've been doing is listening to other groups from the other nation. And one of the things that seems to me is this. They are very arrogant, and they are very presumptuous because he's our God. And every time they try to take him and say he's theirs, it's like he's saying, look, we can do what we want to do. We don't regard you. We actually don't like you, and what's yours is ours, and he's yours, but we're going to make him ours. And the fact that we're doing it means that we feel that we have the right, and we don't regard him. So it's actually not only a way of dispossessing us just like we were dispossessed in slavery, but it's really a slap in the face of Yah by saying that, look, we can take what your people belongs to your people, and we can also take you. You're the ultimate thing that they have, and we can appropriate you, take you from them.
The way
so when I see other groups doing this, one of the things that seems to me is I've heard this thing about all you have to do, well, people have been saying in comments, I've been trying to find them, what they've been saying is stuff like, well, how do I know that I'm of the northern tribe? It's always about the northern tribe. How do I know I'm of the northern tribe? Well, if you're drawn to keep the law, statutes, commandments, and you respond to the name of Hamashiach or whatever they say his name is, then you're one of the people. I said, this is crazy. This is lunacy. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that, and yet this is what's being preached. And so many people are embracing that because basically what they're saying is that we don't want to have to face what the consequences of our action, and we're not going to favor the people because in all of this, what they're still doing is dispossessing us. They're still not giving us what is rightfully ours, which is the clear acknowledgement that we are the people and all that comes with that. So they're saying, we're going to appropriate your culture, appropriate your God, and then we're going to dog you in the process. So I'm just really trying to puzzle through it because I'm saying there is really some subtle stuff going on here. I mean, it's really something when you think about it because you cannot just say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite because I'm responding to this name of the Almighty, and I'm a Hebrew Israelite because I somehow feel drawn to keep the law, statutes, and commandments. And that's what many people are basing it on. It's not basing on any type of lineal descent. It's not even based on any type of scriptural confirmation. It's based on the feeling kind of stuff. I said, this is really, and that's what I've been trying to puzzle out. Is this it? Is there not more than this? Because one of the things I have really appreciated is reading through the scriptures, reading through book after book after book after book. And I learn all the time. I don't retain everything. But, you know, by reading it, it helps me to really build an understanding of how it is that I came to understand what I understand, believe what I believe, and know who I am as, you know, as an Israelite. But now all of these people who are claiming to be Israelites are talking about, if there's not spiritual Israel, it's responding to this. It's like the Holy Spirit is drawing me and calling me to keep the law, statutes, commandments, and that's confirmation that I, too, am an Israelite. I mean, it's really something, but I'm more than that, it is just an affront in the face of the Almighty that you think you can take, dispossess his people, and then appropriate him and say he's yours, and then run with that. This is too much. I've really
mad,
been kind of stunned and just trying to think, what the heck is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yes. denial. Everybody is living in denial. Nobody wants to accept this. It did, like I said, when we got off that boat and they realized that they were not going to be indentured servants and that they were going to be slaves, you know, they couldn't live in denial anymore. They had to accept the fact that this is a punishment that was spoken over us thousands of years ago, because I'm sure that it was in the back of their mind, but they had escaped so much. Imagine running into Africa in 70 AD and being there for thousands of years. I mean, just being there and doing what you need to do. And then in 1619, all of a sudden, well, before then, it dropped in someone's mind, well, we need to get some workers. We need to go get some people to help us to build this stuff and get some free labor. And then they decide, well, you know what, those people down there in Judah land, we need to go get those people. I'm just paraphrasing because I don't know what the conversation was, but whatever sparked the conversation, it sparked them to start collecting us as a people and bringing us over. Now, once we got here and we realized that we were not going to be indentured servants, that we were going to be free workers and all that kind of stuff, and we were not even going to be treated as humans, I'm sure at some point they had to remember that prophecy that was spoken. And it didn't matter how much they repented, and it didn't matter how much they said they were sorry, and it didn't matter because Yah had already spoke it. I said all that to say this. The punishment for those nations has already been spoken.
That's true.
So it's not going to matter what they do. They keep all the laws, the statutes, and commandments. It is not going to matter because he is coming for his own. And just like he said in the New Testament, they said, why do you speak in parables? He said, unless they hear and understand and they see, And they changed their ways, and I have to forgive them. He didn't want to. He knew that there was some that was going to perish. Just like it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter because the Most High has already spoken, and it has nothing to do with us.
That I understand, but, you know, it's basically like somebody takes your stuff, and then you say, that's mine. He says, no, it's not. This is mine. And they lie to your face and act as if you're supposed to believe the lie. And that's what everybody's doing. Acting as if this lie is supposed to just be believed by everyone, and people are trying to take it and run with it, and you know, and so that was the thing that just kind of had me stymied for a bit. But I think I'm working my way through it because I think I'm beginning to understand exactly what's going on,
and
it's true. Prophecies are going to fulfill themselves, and the prophets are fulfilling themselves, and so there's nothing that can be done other than. I agree with you in terms of those people who are keeping the law, statutes, commandments, because even if you come as a stranger, it's going to be a wonderful place to be because people are going to be living as they should, and they're going to have the protection of the Almighty. And he honors obedience. One of the things that I like peace. I like order, and I look forward to it. I like community. These are I really look forward to, and that's the reason the laws, the statutes, and commandments are in place. It's to establish a nation that has laws and rules. You know, I was telling my sister the other day or someone, I used to always struggle. Am I saved? Am I not saved? I never knew what sin was. I was always puzzling. Have I done something wrong? But I mean, I said, now I can live, I can be at peace. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't have to worry about my dress. My sleeves too long. I mean, don't wear earrings, don't wear makeup. Nonsense. This is not it. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I follow the law, statutes, commandments, and I go to sleep at night, and I'm fine. You know? Other stuff is just like anybody can manipulate you and tell you anything. But order. I'm a God of order. He's very clear in terms of what he wants to do. He says, love me with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you love me, keep my commandments. Said in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we made a covenant with the Almighty. We were going to keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. That covenant has not been broken. I don't understand how I'll get around that because when I read down through the Bible, I see it in the Old, I see it in the New. It still stands, regardless of what people say. We're content.
Absolutely.
So my saying that all you have to do is, or like this Stanley guy, Andy Stanley was saying, all you have to do is love one another. You don't have to keep the other commandments. do that at your own peril.
And they listen to you. I mean, you know, it's just like we said yesterday. Because my thing was, what gives you the right to collect tithes? And I used to always be the one to question, what gives you the right to collect tithes? And they used to stand up and say, because we are of the Levi tribe. I see you, Brother Leonard. We're of the Levi. I had to put your phone on mute because it was noise in the background. Because we're of the Levi tribe. And I said, okay. And for a long time then in Christianity, it didn't click. But since, like you said, since we've been reading the Word and we're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we understand that the Levi tribe is a very special tribe that is set apart for the Most High himself. And that is from Aaron's lineage, which again is an Israelite. So how in the world can you be a Gentile and be a Levite? You cannot have it both ways. But if you don't know that, you can get away with that. You get away with all that and tell all them lies and strut across the stage because this, you're supposed to be, that's supposed to be the temple of the Most High Yah. That's not even true either. But because they're able to do that and people don't know no better, they shout and they skip and they jump and they speak in tongues and they say the things that they need to say to get emotion. And it's basically an emotional ride. It's an emotional roller coaster. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that you look at Judges 4:13, it was a contingent. The lady earlier was just saying that she said line upon line, precept upon precept, and she wanted to understand. Well, Judges 4:13 tells you that the Most High commanded his life when they came into the land was to, it was seven nations that was there, and he wanted them to root them out, and they was doing that all the way up here. To Jasher, the book of Jasher, and then they stopped and they started giving them cities to dwell in outside of they city. But it was a contingent of Gentiles, just like I was saying earlier, it was a contingent of Gentiles that was in this place called Hazareth of the Gentiles. And like I was saying, there's only one set of Gentiles, that's Genesis chapter 10. And so that contingent of Gentiles, when you do the research on that, that geographical location, Hazareth of Gentiles, is Galilee. So it was Gentiles in Galilee. You know, and so it may be hard for some people to swallow, but Galilee was awash with Gentiles. That's the area where they didn't drive the Gentiles out.
Okay, I understand. I understand. So, I mean, you know, as you come across those issues and you understand those things, you just have to let them be, because nobody, you can tell by the sentiment of their heart and how they feel about us, you know. And you think about it, you've been able to keep this going a long time. I mean, for thousands of years, hundreds and thousands of years, you have been able to do this. You know, because the moment that we left Jerusalem, the Edomites moved in. And they were able to assume our identity, and they've been doing it ever since. So if you've had all this time to say, hey, this is who I am and this is who we are, even some of the people believe that. You know, and like I told you guys a long time ago, this Caucasian movement that's going around, that they're the Israelites from the northern tribe, this is not new. This is not new. I told you that. They believed that Jeremiah left and married a woman from Ireland, and that started the tribe, and that's where it all started from. And they got a lot of other genetic markers that they used to identify themselves with. They have no proof other than the verbal proof, because the most I told Jeremiah, he wouldn't have any wife. He wouldn't have a wife and children. And he definitely wouldn't have went to another land and married a foreign woman from that wasn't an Israelite. But if you, again, if you don't read the scriptures, you won't know that. So, I mean, this is where we are. But, again, like we always say, everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe. And at some point, the Most High is going to bring everything to the forefront to let you know whether or not it was right or wrong. Have a right. They really do. And you have to let them. You can't stop them. You have to let them. They have a right to believe what they want to believe. They have a right to go up in their churches and preach what they want to preach. They have a right to do that. Just like we have a right to believe that we're the Israelites. And you have to let them. You can't stop that. Whether or not they ever acknowledge it or not, that's on them. I don't even care whether they acknowledge us. Because I know who I am. I don't need anybody to tell me that. They have been telling us who we are and labeling us forever. And I just don't believe in, I don't need that. You know, I don't need to know. I know who my Elohim is. I know he loves me. And I know he has called us as a people to do whatever it is we're doing right now. And that's what we're doing, it tucked out of the way, and we're not causing any problems. And this thing is about to be over with in a minute. No, so I don't need all that. So if you could say, okay, I'm the Israelite, I'm the northern tribe, and this is what we do, and this is how we're going to be, whoever you be, all you can be. Because at some point the truth is going to come, and it'll be able to tell you who's who. And some of us are going to be surprised at some of these people.
Well, my thing is this. The reason that I have been, first of all, like I said, I started with the Sefer Bible, and I started listening, and I said, what am I hearing here? I'm not exactly sure what's going on. So, but I said, I will hold my opinion in reserve. You know, I'll just kind of try to be neutral in terms of what it is that I experience. And I don't want to be deceived. That's my prayer. Let me not be deceived. Let me have a clean heart, please. So I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to learn. I reserve the right to change my mind. Because it's not set in stone. I don't know everything. But you have to come with proof and a basis, and that's the thing that I have not seen. I see people embracing all kinds of things, and there's nothing to support it. And so that's the thing that just has had me puzzled. And then I realized that on another level, what it is it's really a hatred directed toward us as a people because it's an absolute refusal to acknowledge who we are, regardless,
yeah,
because there is who we are. There's no proof of this other stuff. And yet people are acting as if it should just be believed simply because of who you are. No, that's not going to fly. But on the other hand, if you come with something, I'm willing to research it. Because my sister was saying, well, I was listening to this guy and he had some good points. He was talking about ruddy and he was talking about pale. And I thought, I'm going to research it because I am not willing to believe something that's not true any more than I want to believe, and I want to believe what is true, but I don't want to embrace something that's not true. That's just a deception. So my thing is bring it. Let me look at it. Let me examine it. Let me research it. Let me pray and get a clear understanding. But don't ask me to believe a lie simply because you supposedly are an authority and you bring this information and there's nothing to substantiate it. And to me, that's exactly what's happening. So they're going to be, and this is going to be, a lot of people are really going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
They're really going to, more than that, they're going to be destroyed because they are not going to have the protection that they pray that they have. Now, people want to, they want to be raptured out of here. They want, you know, they want to exodus out. Better read those prophecies and see what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But don't you think it's strange that all of a sudden now, even the white people want to be Israel. All of a sudden now you see Caucasian people on YouTube showing us their slave ancestors. This is my Uncle So-and-so. This is who I'm from. They would have never did that before. That was the best-kept secret. It was hid in the back. When you bring that black man up and show nobody nothing about us, now all of a sudden this is who I'm from.
I can only laugh.
You know,
I don't know what to say.
Don't
you know,
to,
I don't begrudge it. I embrace all of my ancestors, whoever they are, but I understand what you're saying.
Now all of a sudden, they embrace the slave. I'm from him. This is who we from. This is our the progenitor of where we all are from. And I'm like, you have never heard them say that before. But you know what? They know, when truth comes on the scene, you cannot ignore it.
Okay. Look, the handwriting's on the wall. Trump was supposed to be the savior. He is the de facto savior, and he is not saving anyone. And so now, when your savior fails to save you, you have a problem. So looking around,
I seen a clip. So the so-called scholar said America is in a moral free fall. I said, you got that right.
If I didn't know I were an Israelite, I would be terrified because of what America has done. Because as Thomas Jefferson said something to the effect, I shudder to think that God is just. What's happening in Venezuela? I was reading about women having to prostitute themselves because they cannot make a living in Venezuela. This is because of the United States embargo. They're supporting the opposition to Maduro and acting as if somehow this is some kind of laudable, ethical endeavor that they're engaged in, when basically it's regime change at the expense of the people. It's causing people to have to do things that they would not ordinarily have to do, and they're acting as if there's nothing, there's not going to be consequence. Just because they're not Israelites does not mean that God is not going to repay them for what they do. These are also people.
That's true.
You know, if you talk about yin and yang, if you talk about anything, equilibrium, when that pendulum swings one way, it's going to swing back, and it's going to sock you. Why is it that people think that we sit here and enjoy the lifestyle that we have at the expense of other people around the world, and then act as if somehow we are so moral and ethical, these people deserve what they're getting? No, this is not true. Hide your head if you want to. I don't want to hide my head. I'm thinking, boy, well, I do say, man, am I thankful I'm an Israelite. I'm thankful there's an exit plan, because, whoa, this is going to get ugly really fast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very much so. Very, very much so. Ugly. But at the same time, you know, we got to let it do what it do, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You just got to pray, and hopefully, you know, we because some of the Israelites is there too.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you first. Go ahead.
Obey. Let me learn and obey and make sure that I haven't deceived myself. So that's all I have to say.
You know, it's nothing we can do about it. We have to let it do what it is we do. But we got Israelites in Venezuela. We scattered all over the earth. We're in the four corners of the earth. We have Israelites in Venezuela, too. We have them everywhere. They're there. They are there.
That's true.
And we got to pray for them, that they, the Most High, deliver them out. They're there. They're there. You know, there's no country that we're not in. We're there. We're right there. You know, but again, we just have to give y'all praise and glory, you know, and pray for them. You know? And it's just unfortunate, you know, that it is that way, but it has to happen. Because all of this, and I was looking at the EU right now, I think they said we have 28 countries in the EU. And like Mikhail said, when the United Kingdom leaves, there's a whole lot of other ones that are going to leave. And we will eventually get down to 10 nations, or we will get down to 10 regions and have 10 kings over 10 regions. But however it's going to happen the way the Bible said it is going to happen. And that is, they are listening and they are studying and they are listening to the Israelites on the street corners to try to debunk them, and when they can't, what is it? If we can't beat them, what's the next thing? We join them. I'm an Israelite too. And it's like, if that make you feel better, but God knows his people. God knows his people. They know his people. So we just have to trust him, and it's going to be all right because he said it would. And we just keep doing what we're doing. Like I said, don't hate anybody. It's not your job to hate anybody. We just have to do what he's called us to do. And from that moment, he'll make a way for everything else to go the way it's supposed to go.
I have to shield myself because I feel such empathy, and I can actually see myself in some of these positions. I'm thinking, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit here. And sometimes I say, I just have to not read it because I internalize it and I don't separate myself. I understand, at least to a limited extent, that the United States has its hand in a lot of things, a lot of shenanigans.
It's like you said, it's a moral free fall. It's fallen. You know, it's just fallen. It's just done gone. It's gone. It has served its purpose, though. You know, like Brother Dooney, I used to say, it's not the only reason why, you know, it was here to punish us. And now the punishment is up, and you can see it completely falling. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. We got to watch it. And, you know, we trust Yah. That's why prayer is so important. We got to go. We got to go up there. We got to pray. We got to ask the Most High to forgive us as a nation. We have to do it with a sincere heart. You know, we have to come together and really begin to pray for everybody. You know, not just for us, but for all of our people. Even the ones that ain't there, we got to cover them. We got to pray for all of them, you know, that he show us some mercy. Because really, to get, you know, you think about it, he said, if you come to me with your whole heart, you and your children, and you cry out to me, and you surrender your whole heart, your soul, everything to me, I will deliver you. You know, and what if that's an invitation to come? And the ones who don't do it don't get a chance to come first. What if this is the prelude to whether or not you get to go to the wilderness? What if the repentance is a prelude as to whether or not, or prerequisite as to whether or not you get to go to the wilderness? Because all y'all got to do is take it out your mind when the time comes to go, and you'll forget about it and go do something else. You know? It's serious. So, I mean, you know, we're doing it because he's allowing it to be so, but it's not popular. It is not popular. There's not a lot of people saying, hey, I'm going to be there. I mean, it's a number of people, and we've gotten over, we almost at 100 people, but that's nowhere compared to the whole world. You know, so we just have to do what it is that he allows for to happen. And we you know, we keep it going, and we, you know, we do the best that we can. Because the fight is going to be there, I'm telling you. And for you all who didn't hear it earlier, you know, I want to apologize to you all who have tried to contact us by phone, Sister Angela and some of the other people who tried to contact us by phone, and we weren't able to get with you. Because you guys were calling the number that was going into my personal email, and I very rarely check it, and I checked it today. So I cleaned everything out, and I got everybody's phone number, but I have a new phone system set up. So if you guys want to reach us, the phone number is 513-486-5405. Now, at a certain time of the night, I do unplug the phone so I can get some sleep. Because people will call at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. I have to work. I can't be up like that because I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I do want to plug the phone at a certain time so I can get to sleep. But if you call and leave a message, I promise you I'll give you a call back. And we have a better system in place now to make sure that that happens. But if you haven't registered, register. You know, we don't know what y'all's going to do in the next 6 months. We just don't know. You don't know who it's going to touch in the next 6 months. You know, because everybody, like you said, everybody's bucking to be Israel. Everybody's bucking to do something for the 400 years. People that ain't even been through the 400-year captivity trying to be a part of it. And it's like, you know, and some of the people from Africa, it's like, you haven't gone through this. This is for us to do. It's like birthing a baby. You can't be in a delivery room pushing when the baby's not in you. We have to be the one to push it out. But everybody wants to be in the front. We know what it means. We've lived through it. We were sentenced. This was a sentence given to us. You know? You can rejoice with us. You can even pray with us if you want to. But we're the ones that have to do this. Nobody else can do this but us. But because they want it to be something spectacular and they want it to be this big grand fanfare, they don't want to do it with us. They want to do whatever it is they want to do. Do it. But it's us that have lived through this 400 years in somebody else's land, being afflicted, hated. It's us. And the Most High is the one who allowed all of this to happen, so we have to go to him and ask him for forgiveness. You know, it's something that how once it's over with and all the hard stuff is over, now everybody wants to step up to the plate. And it's like, no, no, that's not how it's done. Because to us, it's something different. This ain't nothing to party over. You know, you just never know what this will do. You know, we have to do it with a sincere heart and humility. We have to. We have to be able to ask for forgiveness it like we've never done before. You know, and understand all the things that we have done and ask him to forgive us. You know, because there's people out there with mass money. They could show out. They could set it up and it'd be beautiful and have fireworks and boom and the party going on and everything. But that's not what this is. This is the end of a punishment, a prison sentence. When you come out of prison, you ain't all happy and jolly and like, yeah, let's have a fun. You have to adjust. It's a moment where you have to just sit back and adjust like, wow, I've been away a long time. And when all that stuff sinks in, we've been away from our land. We don't know our culture. We can't speak our language. We don't even know our Elohim. You know what I'm saying? When we opened up our eyes, in slavery and didn't even know we was in slavery. That got to sink in first. You know, so that's what it is. And we just got to continue to do what it is he's called us to do. Anybody else?
I need the number again. I need your number again.
All right, everybody, I had to clear my phone because people seem to call me during our show. But, you know, it's something. You know, we have to be the ones to do this. We can't let anybody else do this. Now, I'm sure they're probably going to throw it on. I'm sure they're going to have a big shindig. But it's not going to have the same effect as we have right now. The OMS that we're preparing ourselves for. So on that note, I guess it's time for us to end our show. Anybody have any other comments they want to leave before we say goodnight? I have enjoyed the show as usual. Say again?
I needed your number again. I only got the first six numbers.
Okay, the phone number is 513-486-5405. That's our number. All right, now, don't forget to register if you haven't for the 2019 Day of Repentance. It's www.2019dayofrepentance.us. It's 2019dayofrepentance.us. And our email address is theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Now, somebody sent an email that said that when we have our shows, that they were upset because they could not ask questions. Let me say something to you guys. I don't want anybody to feel like that they're being intentionally slighted. However, I do mute your phone if you call in and there is background noise. That's something that I do. So if there's something that has happened to you and you cannot talk on the show, you did right to email us so that we can give you a call and then we can fix it where you can get in. She said because there's so many lions and lionesses on the show that she can't speak up. So we want you to be able to have your turn to ask your questions and be able to feel like you have something to say, because we don't want anybody to feel like that they have been left out. You know, that because we don't want to leave anybody out of this. This is too important for us to leave anyone out. Too important. Something we have to do. Hold on, get Sister Couture on. Shalom, shalom, Sister Couture. You have anything else?
Just real quick, this may be off the subject, but I was reading, you know that Trump then declared that state of emergency, right?
Yes.
He's getting ready to take 13 people's property away from them along that border if it goes into effect. And they're talking
mm-hmm.
about going into martial law and state of emergency
mm-hmm.
because they know that a war is going to break out. Those people are not going to let you take their property. And they know that
mm-hmm.
people are not going to let them put that wall up. So they are expecting a fight to break out. So they think he's going to start declaring curfews. So if y'all don't have food and stuff like that, please think about getting something. And that's
nice.
All I wanted to say. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And, you know, that's in Texas. And Texas is a state where they have open carry and they're doing all the things that they're doing. So, yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that. But I don't think it's going to get to that point. I could be wrong. And I'm not right all the time. But I don't think it's going to get to that point. I really don't. I really, really don't. But we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know. But we'll see. The time will tell. And I see some of you people are on here, people that I have talked to today that I have left messages for. Glad to see you on the line. Again, let me say this to everybody. If you have been trying to contact me by phone and you have left messages and I wasn't able to return your call, it is because the messages were going into an email that was very rarely checked. So we have fixed that problem now. We have a new phone number that you can call, and if you do not reach me, it will be checked every day, and we will contact you within 24 hours. The phone number is 513-486-5405. 513-486-5405. And that is for, you know, if you need information about the program, if you need information about, you know, the 2019 Day of Repentance. Now, you know, if you have a question about the Bible class or something, please wait until we have class for that. You know, but anything else pertaining to what we're trying to do, please call if you need to call and get information. If you are new and this is new for you, please call us. We would love to make your acquaintance so that we can give you all of the tools so that you can join us virtually in our classes and things like that. All right, so on that note, we're going to say shalom, and I want everybody to give a chance to say something that wants to. Sister Couture, we'll start with you and go up the line.
Well, you know me. My thing is put away some food, water, medical supplies for you and your family because I might be one of those people knocking at your door for something to eat. Shalom, shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. Area code 972.
Shalom.
All right. She says shalom. Area code 928.
Shalom.
Okay. Area code 405. These people must have their phone on mute. Brother, you rock, shalom.
Just want to say shalom to everybody and peace and love, and let's continue the good fight.
Sounds like a plan. We'll see you guys on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to come back to the show again, and we'll have more to talk about then. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you soon. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a wonderful time. Shalom.